All right. Good morning to each one. I greet you in Jesus' name. Well, it's a privilege to be gathered again today. We thank God for a warm place to meet when it's so cold outside. I was just thinking this morning of how it would be to gather out in the woods like our forefathers did on a day like today. Can't imagine. My feet get cold sometimes just here in the church house with temperatures that are pleasant. I can't imagine how cold we get out there, you know, in the environment like that. So very thankful for a warm place to meet and very thankful for wonderful people to meet with, the true saints of God, a church that desires to be pleasing in the sight of God, that desires to be holy, to be edifying one another, exhorting one another. And so this morning, as I want to share with you, I have a subject, and that is our relationship with Jesus. It was a Wednesday night that I was thinking a little bit, especially during the time we were burning a lot of the stuff there at brothers' meetings and at brothers' meeting. And I was thinking about what it is that calls us sometimes to stray away from God and allows things to come into our heart or our life that's not right. And it's something I've actually been meditating on already, and I realize for myself, and I think it's for all of us, that if our relationship with Jesus begins to dwane, and our love for Him is not as fervent as what it should be, or what it once was, that we are so much more susceptible to sin and temptation. And I think for all of us here this morning, we know that in the times when our life is clear before God, we have that connection with Jesus, we spend time in the Word and prayer, that when Satan comes with those temptations and those weak areas in our lives, that we're much more strong and able to withstand that temptation. The unfortunate thing is, though, that with life and its difficulty and trials and discouragements that we face, sometimes when we most need that connection with God, we feel the most unmotivated to seek for it or to regain that connection again. Maybe it's just unfortunate things that happen, or just a bad day, as we call it, or maybe we just feel discouraged or depressed. Those are the times that we really need it the most, but those are also the times that we're most disinclined to seek for it. And because of that, I think our lives are much more susceptible to temptation, and we often fall into sin in those times. You know, as a young man, as I've grown up in my teen years, and I've struggled sometimes to find fulfillment in life, or even struggling with different weaknesses in my life and things, you know, I found that in Jesus Christ, by being close to Him, He brings that fulfillment and that meaning. We have that connection with Him. We find true happiness. It's interesting, I see around us in our day, and even in the society, first off, I'll talk about that a little bit, that people are searching for answers. They're searching for true happiness. They're searching for peace. And unfortunately, they're searching in the wrong areas. They're looking to pleasure. They're looking to materialism, wealth, all these things that bring happiness, and they never find it. Speak louder? Okay, I can try. Just the other day, actually it was just 2 days ago, I met this young man along the road down here, just right beside my house. And he was going to be here this morning. He didn't show up, so I'm not sure what happened, if the weather was too bad or what. But anyway, he was just stranded here. His car had broken down along the road. And at first I thought he was stuck there in the ditch, but they had backed off the road a little bit. And so I stopped by there to see if they needed help. And he said the car wasn't running properly and it died on the road, and they just pushed it off on the side of the road. So I tried jumping it for him. It wouldn't jump. So we ended up pulling it back to his house. It was out here in Eternal Road, all the way clear on the end of Eternal Road. And so I get down there. We pull it down there, and I get out of the vehicle and look at his house and the condition where he lived, and I begin to realize how bad his condition really was, because there was no electricity in the house. There's no heat. His vehicle didn't run. He didn't have a cell phone. And so I took the chance to share the gospel with him. And he really listened intently. And he told me about an accident he had 5 years ago, just right up here on this curve right here where they cut those trees down along the highway. He was going up there on a motorcycle, going 60 miles an hour. And he wrecked and hit that tree. And he broke his back in many different areas. And he was just only months away from graduating from college, and that just set him back in almost every area of his life. He said he wasn't on drugs, but from looking at him, you have to wonder. But he really, the things I share with him, he really took to consideration. I could tell he was really pondering the things I share with him in his heart. But the thing that really I noticed about this man is all the different things that he tried in life to find happiness and fulfillment, it seemed like he came up short every time. And I just thought of the verse in Proverbs where it says, the way of the transgressor is hard. And he didn't have a relationship with Jesus. He told me he didn't. He said he believes, but that was about it. So I really exhorted him. And he said he's going to come this morning, but he didn't show up. So let's keep praying for him and that God will do a good work in his heart. But anyway, before we begin, let's go ahead and kneel for prayer and ask God to be in our midst. Father, we just come before you this morning in Jesus' name. We thank you for this privilege together with those of like precious faith. And Lord, as we think of your word, Lord, I just tremble to think that who am I, a man, to share, Lord, your infallible truth with my fellow man. I just pray, God, that you would give anointing this morning. I pray you would be in our midst. Father, I pray as I share on this thing of relationship with Jesus, that God, that you would just give me the ability to share what you placed upon my heart, Father. And I pray you give us all a strong resolution that we would draw closer to you, Lord, that our lives could be clear, transparent, and open before you and our fellow man. Oh, God, bless this assembly. May your spirit be amongst us. In Jesus' name, amen. So for a text, let's turn to Revelations chapter 3 and verse 20 is the one we'll look at. But I think we'll go ahead and begin reading here where the angel is addressing the church of the Laodiceans, because that way we can get the context of the passage. So let me just give a few more thoughts and introduction before I continue here into the text. So we know the natural tendencies of our own heart. We have experienced the work of God in our heart. We know what it is to be close with Jesus if we have experienced the work of salvation in the heart. We know what it has felt like in the past. And unfortunately, as I said earlier, our natural propensity or tendency is to wander from that and allow other loves to come into our heart. And that's something that God has been showing me in my life in recent weeks, and I just really have felt convicted, even during the Bible boot camp, the message that Levi shared with us about finances. You know, I felt that I had surrendered my finances in a lot of ways, but then as I examined my heart, I realized I had some other loves there in my heart that were taking precedent over my relationship with Jesus. And those things are very, very big. They can really absorb our mental faculties, our energies that should be invested in Christ and our relationship with Him. They will absorb those energies. And I was experiencing that to a certain degree. And I repented of that. And I asked God to cleanse my heart in that area, and that my heart could be clear before Him, and that I would have a right relationship with Jesus. We go wrong, we leave all pursuing our relationship with Christ and allow other loves and things to come into our heart with the hope that we can find greater happiness and fulfillment in them rather than with our intimate relationship with Jesus. You know, I go out sometimes and take prayer walks in the evenings, and I find it very sweet to commune with God. But it's just amazing how many times little things come up in the evenings, and our lives are busy. You know, I'm sure all of our lives are busy. But we understand how precious it is. We experience the preciousness of being with God. But why is it that we sometimes lack the motivation to go out and experience the same thing again the next evening? We know that Satan hates that we have a good relationship with Jesus. But you know, he knows then that we'll have victory in our lives. We can walk successfully with him. We'll be effective in his kingdom. And if he can hinder that, he can do a lot of damage. And it's my desire this morning that we could see our relationship with Jesus is a very precious thing, and pursue that and never allow any other love to come in and take that place. Let's go ahead and begin reading here in Revelations.
Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. God forbid that that should happen to any one of us. God forbid that our heart would be lukewarm and we come to judgment someday and God would declare to us, you have been lukewarm. You didn't have a fervent love in your heart for me. You professed you knew me. I think of those verses there in Matthew chapter 7 where Jesus said, many will say unto me that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name and done all these miracles and wonderful works in your name? And he's going to say to them, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. That's a terrible thought to think about. I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich and increase the goods, have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. And that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So we see here in verse 19, he's calling them to be zealous and repent of this lukewarmness, saying they're increased with goods and having need of nothing, but yet in reality, they are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. So the verse we want to look at primarily this morning is verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. That's a beautiful verse. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. Wow. It's a beautiful invitation from Christ. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Amazing to think that he would do this, to stand at our door and knock. After all, he was the one that has given his life for us. It seems like only appropriate that we would take the initiative and go to him and knock at his door, so to speak, and say, Lord Jesus, can I have a relationship with you? Can I be one with you and in close fellowship with you? And of course, we have to do that. It is our responsibility. But yet here we see from this verse here that he is taking the initiative and he's coming to us and he's knocking our heart's door, indicating, revealing that he desires to enter in. He stands there and knocks. Beautiful. How does he stand? He doesn't stand demandingly, but he stands with great patience. There's that song, a verse in this, 507, I think, in the hymnary. It talks about entrance within demanding. I'm not sure if I would agree with that entirely. He's not demanding entrance into our hearts. He's inviting us to open the door. He stands there patiently and knocks on the door. How does he stand? He stands with great love. He's revealed that love to us in so many different areas. Just the fact that he came from heaven to earth and gave his life and suffered that cruel death on the cross to save us from our sins is a revelation of the great love that he had for us and how that he desired by that love to be reconciled back to man and have close fellowship with man. And we know it's because of our sin that we can't have proper fellowship with God, and sin separates us from God. So by cleansing our heart from that sin and making a new creature in Christ Jesus, he now has the ability to be reunited with man and have a fellowship with us. That's beautiful. He has no further obligations, yet he stands. But let's not forget, he's not some homeless beggar needing a place to stay. That's not who Jesus Christ is. He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He doesn't need to reside in our heart, yet he so desires it that he's willing to stand without and knock. And patiently knock. Think of the times in your own life when he's knocked at your heart's door. You can remember the time when initially when you came to Christ, maybe it was under the preaching of the word, when the Holy Spirit was convicting you of your sin, you realized your true condition before God, and you felt that gentle knocking of the Holy Spirit or of Jesus himself. They're one and the same. You felt that knocking from Jesus, asking if he could enter in and transform your life, take away all your sins, and make you a new creature. Think of the times also throughout life, and I think it should be for every one of us, when we begin to stray from God, when we begin to leave that connection we have with Christ. And maybe again, it's under the preaching of the word, or maybe it's during our personal devotions or our prayer time that Jesus, we can tell he's knocking again. And now he's asking, can I have entrance again into your heart? Can I feel that place that once I did before? Maybe it's because we left our first love, like it was happening here in these churches that the angel was addressing. Maybe we lost our first love, and then again he comes to us and he knocks. He has no further obligation, yet he's willing to knock to regain that relationship. It's a beautiful thing. Knocking calls for one's attention. Well, just think about it. If you're in your house one day and somebody knocks at your door, our natural response is we run to the door and see who's there. Imagine you have a friend. He tells you, or she tells you, that they're going to come visit sometime. And it's about this certain time. Maybe it's on the weekend. You have no idea if it's going to be Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. And it's your closest friend. And you're anticipating this visit very, very much. You have your house all in order. Everything's ready for them when they arrive. And then suddenly, Saturday morning, it's 7 o'clock. And you're barely out of bed and dressed. And there's a knocking on the door. Can you imagine the excitement? I've thought it before. The excitement of the visitors there. They're here. And you run to the door and you open them in. You invite your dearest friends in with warmth and love because you're so happy to see them again. Shouldn't that be the nature in which our heart should be toward Jesus? How many of you here would consider him your dearest friend? I mean, that should be for all of us. So why is it then that we have a hard time just always keeping that door open for him and allow him free access right into our heart and letting him reign supremely on the throne of our heart? Again, he knocks with patient tenderness. Also, he knocks, like I said earlier, with the work of redemption. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2 real quick for a verse of scripture, for us to consider what he really has done for us and how that in itself should be a loud knocking upon our heart's door. We'll just read here a few verses, maybe four, actually maybe six or eight, I'm not sure. Ephesians chapter 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. I think for all of us here, we can remember those times when we were dead in trespasses and sins. It was a horrible place to be, but he has quickened us. Wherein in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, and hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We can keep reading, but that's far enough. When we come to verses like this, we read these verses and we meditate upon them. And we begin to let the reality, what Jesus Christ has done for us, how he has transformed our life and made us a new creature. When that begins to dawn upon our heart, who among us would not desire to be close with such a Savior and friend as Jesus? Who among us today would not desire to draw closer to such a one? Jesus, you really did that for me? It's amazing. Why would I let anything else come between me and you? But it does. Well, our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Our flesh has so many natural tendencies to turn away from God, to let other loves come in there, pride and selfishness, covetousness, materialism. It can be bitterness, all kinds of things that come into place and take that place that Jesus Christ rightfully deserves on the throne of our heart. God help us. I'm needy in this area. I don't profess to have accomplished in this. I see my need, and at times I say, Lord Jesus, help me. Why is my heart prone to wonder? There's a song that says, prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. God help us. You know, it's good for us to consider other relationships we have in life and consider how carefully we maintain them, or should carefully maintain them. I trust for all of us, we have those close relationships and we endeavor to guard over them, protect them, that nothing will come between us and them. And I think the closest relationships known on earth is the relationship between husband and wife. In order to have a good marriage, we need to have closeness and communication, sharing hearts. Whenever there's something that comes up that brings division and separation in that relationship, it should grieve us. It should cause us to examine our own hearts to see where we have went wrong and then endeavor to repent and turn from whatever that was and be fully reconciled back to our spouse. It can also be for parents to children. That relationship should be close. But if we let bitterness, resentment, pride, or anything like that come between that relationship, there's a separation occurring. And the same thing can happen between us and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us to have the same carefulness, or even more of a carefulness, over the relationship that we have with Jesus that we have between husband and wife, between our spouse and ourselves. Time, priority, fellowship, closeness constitute a good relationship. So if Christ is not getting that from us, he is being deprived of that which he rightfully deserves and will again resume his knocking. It's amazing. Think of the mercy of the fact that he will resume his knocking in our heart's door. I'm so grateful because there's times in my teen years and even since that I've strayed a little and God has been merciful to me. He's knocked again at my heart's door and I've come back to him again in full repentance and faith. But think of the mercy that he would continue knocking when he could just say, well, you sinned, go live a life of sin that you chose to live. But, oh, the mercy of the Holy Spirit. Or Jesus himself knocking upon our heart's door and saying, I desire to be reconciled once more with you and come in and abide in your heart again and have full reign. Praise God for that. James chapter 4 verse 8 says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. That's a beautiful verse. We see here in this verse 20 in Revelation chapter 3 that Christ has taken the initiative to knock on our heart's door, but now we also have a responsibility to draw nigh to God. And the promise is, from James 4:8, is if we do that, he will draw nigh to us. That's beautiful. Amen. Let's go on to the little phrase, if any man hear my voice. If any man hear. Praise God, it says any man. This statement from Jesus is not exclusive. It is an open invitation to all. Isn't that beautiful? He doesn't just say the elect or the predestinated, which those verses are in the scriptures, and God help us to understand all that. But anyway, here it says, if any man, I love those verses where it says, whosoever will, or if any man, because this includes everyone. No one should feel left out. The invitation is open to all. If any man hear my voice, you know, to hear his voice, what does it take? It's good for us to think about that. Because this life is very busy, and there's a lot of things that call for our attention. And it's so easy for us to be distracted by things around us. And it's so easy to miss that still small voice that speaks to us. The cares of this life, interests and other loves, lack of patience to hear His voice, these are things that keep us from hearing Him when He speaks to us. When He stands out and you ask, can I come in again and resume my place, to have my place there in your heart? We don't hear it. In 1 Kings chapter 19, it was when Elijah was there at the cave, and there was an earthquake came by, and then there was a strong wind, and at last there was a still small voice that came to him and asked him, and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? I think it's significant. God doesn't come demanding and shouting for us to allow him to enter in and have that right relationship, but he's there speaking softly and inviting us. Can we be reconciled again? Can we have that relationship one with another as we had before? And it's that still small voice, and we have to hush the cares of this world and the other things that call for our attention and spend that time alone with God in order for ourselves to hear that voice. We know that Mary in the Bible, she heard the voice of Jesus. She sat at his feet. She chose that good part which would not be taken from her. Martha was busy about cares and serving Jesus because Jesus was coming, and it was a big event. I'm sure it was really exciting to have Jesus come and to be able to serve him in that way. But Mary, she had the right focus. She knew, yeah, the meal is probably important to a certain extent. Everything ready for him was good. But she knew that what he had to tell her spiritually and how she could be edified by having a relationship with him and sitting at his feet and hearing him speak those words will be much more beneficial than investing all our time in just serving him physically. She chose that good part, and may we be like her in that regard. The next phrase we'll look at is open the door. And open the door. That's something that we have to do, right? But so far, it's been him. Oh, I guess the hearing part is ours as well. He's been knocking. We have to hear his voice. And now it's our responsibility to open the door. It's more than just hearing. It's also doing. It's opening the door of our heart. That is a very important thing that we've got to do, is open that door. And I begin to think about what it might be that would keep us from opening the door. Like we said, there's so many things he's done for us. Christ has saved us from our sins. He's done so many tremendous things for us. Why is it sometimes that we're so reluctant just to freely open the door for him to come in and abide with us? I think sometimes it's sin. It's sin within the heart that keeps us from allowing to come in and abide there. Because we can't have sin reigning upon the throne and Jesus reigning upon the throne. It's got to be one or the other. So it's first very important that we would purge our lives, our hearts, from any known sin in order that he might come and reign there. I think of, I didn't write this down here, but I think of the time when Jesus was talking about the man that had the unclean spirit cast out of him. And the unclean spirits went into these unknown places, was it dry places or some place seeking for rest and didn't find any. And they said, let us return back to whence we came. And they went back and they found the heart of that man empty, swept, and garnished. And they brought with him seven other spirits and came and resided once more in that same heart. How terrible. If when he was cleansed from that unclean spirit, if he would allow Jesus to come and fill that void in his heart, then there would have been no room for those demonic spirits to come and have entrance once again. It's because he didn't do what he should have and opened the door and allowed the Holy Spirit, let Jesus' presence into his life and have that relationship with him, that those spirits were allowed admittance into his heart. You know, it's good for us, I think, to think about this relationship with Jesus. I think for myself personally, as I have reflected upon my walk with God, There's times, honestly, that you just felt like, even though you pour your heart out to God in prayer, you feel like maybe He's not really hearing you, and it's not making a difference. And you examine your heart and you think, God, is there anything in my heart that's keeping me from being close to you? Is there anything there? And it's good for us to do that. But this relationship, let's just understand this. This relationship is different than earthly relationships where there's actually corresponding, where there's two parties that, in the sense of, you know, verb audibly, you know, Jesus doesn't speak to us like from heaven as such. But we can feel that affirmation within our own heart and spirit that He hears us and that He understands our struggles. And that this prayer that I'm praying by faith, that He hears it and He will answer it according to my faith. So it's good for us to understand that, because I think for some of us, we go out there and we pray, or we spend time in our personal devotions and pray, and we just feel like maybe we're not making that connection with God. You know, if our heart is purged from sin and we're walking in the light, we can have confidence that He does hear us. Even though He doesn't speak to us from heaven in an audible voice and says, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased." You know, I often wish, could you just speak to me from heaven, even just a whisper, and just say, you know, You're doing just perfect. You're walking with me. Your life is pure. Or this is actually an area you could work in, you know. And He doesn't do that from like an audible voice from heaven. But let's not forget that He has spoke to us through the Scriptures. And those red letters we find throughout the Gospels, those are His words, in essence, right to us. And so if we're out there praying and suddenly a Scripture verse comes to us, something maybe from anywhere in the New Testament or in the Scriptures comes to us, that might be His way of speaking to us and having that connection as we pour out our heart to Him and He speaks to us. It might just seem one-sided. No affirmation from heaven like Jesus had. And because of our impatience, it results in us not lingering long enough to hear Him speak to us. I think that is one of my weaknesses. We don't linger long enough in prayer and have patience enough to hear Him speak. We kind of, you know, like our lives are busy, so we have a schedule for this, and we quickly do this, so we have time for this, and then we quickly have our time for devotion, and then we have, you know, so we go through the motion of it, and we don't linger long enough in prayer to hear Him speak back to us. I wonder sometimes if that is one of our weaknesses. So let's pause, let's calm our heart, let's steel our mind, and spend enough time that we can actually connect with Him and feel that communion that we need to have. We really need to have that. Just the empty prayer is not enough. We need that connection. Time in prayer and in the Word is where He speaks to us, and then it's our responsibility to open the door and let Him in. Let's go on to the next phrase. I will come into Him. I will come into Him. Beautiful. Jesus shows by this such interest and readiness to come in and fill all of our hearts. Let's turn now to John chapter 14 in our Bibles. John 14:23. There's many verses here we could look at, but we'll just look at one in particular. Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words." Those two phrases are very significant together. Many in our day say they love Jesus, but the question that we should ask them, the question we should ask ourselves if we say we love Jesus, is are we keeping His words? Various times throughout the Gospels, Jesus made that declaration. If a man love me, he will keep my words. One time He said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. So not just Jesus loving us if we keep His words, the Father will also love us. And we plural, will come unto him and make our abode with him. Praise God. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. Wow. What a beautiful thing to think that Jesus and the Father will come and abide with us if we love him and keep his commandments. Praise God. The condition is if we keep his words, keep his commandments, then upon that condition, he will come and abide in our hearts. When Christ is filling our hearts and we are enraptured with him, it's then that we have the true peace and joy, true peace, joy, and fulfillment. You know, if we examine our lives and we find that we're just not fulfilled, if we're not happy, if we don't have peace in our hearts, I would ask the question, are we clear with God and are we striving for a closer, intimate relationship with him? I dare say that if we lack those things, peace, joy, the fruits of the Spirit, all those fruits of the Spirit, if we lack them in our lives, I dare say that our relationship with Jesus is not where it should be. God help me, God help us all. Satan's deceptions are so many. Just think for a little bit with me. What are Satan's deceptions regarding, you know, why we shouldn't be close to Jesus? One few that I've thought about is the cost is too much. We're afraid that by being real close to Jesus, that he might ask something from us that's too big. And therefore, it's like, I want to kind of keep, you know, keep pretty close, but not do too much where, you know, then if I get too close, you know, then maybe he's going to ask too much from me. You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of how it is in even earthly relationships, because even like that young man I was talking to out here on the highway, you know, I really wanted to help him, and he was so blessed that I would take the time. I mean, to me, it was nothing. It didn't seem much at all to take the time to pull his car over there to his house and help him. Oh, he was blessed. He said, he's like, you're an angel, you know, all this kind of stuff. And it was just amazing. But you know, sometimes when relationships that I'm getting to is we're a little afraid that by being too close to somebody that maybe it's going to cost us too much. It's going to be too demanding. And so if I get too close to this brother, then, you know, he shares his struggles with me or whatever, and I share it with him, you know, we share it together. And then I feel like we kind of have this common ground, and then yet to keep that relationship going and keep that accountability up and maintain that closeness, it looks a little bit big. You know what I'm saying? And it can call, and I have to admit, sometimes when I see difficult things in the church or in the community, and I really feel like maybe I should do more to help out, I kind of have this kind of reserve a little bit. Like, if I kind of get involved too much, and especially if it's a sticky situation, then it's, you know, this is going to be hard to know how to relate to that person and then keep encouraging him and being close to, you know. But that's Satan's deception, trying to keep us from being close. And he thinks that there's going to be, you know, challenges that we're going to face or the cost is going to be too much. But that's not true. The cost is never too much to be close with Jesus or to those that we love or those that we're endeavoring to minister to. And the next point is similar to that. God will ask too much from me. You know, maybe he'll call me to go to the mission field. Oh, it looks scary. You know, Africa or, you know, way over there in Asia or South America, the cost is great, you know, sickness and disease. And I have to admit, there's times that I felt that way. When I was in Africa for 2 years and I was there in St. Two and I got malaria so many times. And even today, I feel like my health has been negatively affected by that. And sometimes to go back there and commit myself long term for a work, you know, and knowing how susceptible I am to certain diseases and malaria, it's like, it looks daunting. It's like, you know, ooh. But God would never ask us to do more than we're able to do. He'll always give us grace. And let's never think it's worth sacrificing our relationship with Jesus so that we can have a comfortable life now. Because we won't be fulfilled if we're living that way. We'll lack the peace and joy that he wants us to have. And the third point I have here is he won't be happy. But you will be happy, right? We will be happy if we are close with Jesus. We know we're at peace with Him. He's abiding in us. We're abiding in Him. That is where true happiness is found. Next little phrase is, I will sup with Him and He with me. Beautiful. I will sup with Him and He with me. We know how He supped with the disciples there in the upper room before His crucifixion. That was a beautiful time. I'm sure they treasure those memories with Jesus as they supped together and He shared His heart with them about how He's going to soon be crucified and was going to go on. That must have been very precious. To sup means to dine with, to be in close fellowship together. And it's interesting, in our nation here, there's something called that presidents do as a special honor to guests. It's called a state dinner. A state dinner. I don't know if you ever heard of that before, but other leaders of other countries, they'll invite them over to the White House and they'll have a state dinner for them. And Trump had one not too long ago for the leader in France, Emmanuel Macron or whatever his name is. And it's where they will do all that they can do to lay out all the most beautiful array of golden goblets and silver lined tabletop, cloths for the tables. And I mean, it's the most ornate, elaborate decorations that the White House does for guests. So can you imagine being a leader of a nation, let's say over there in England, and one day you get a phone call from Trump and he says, hey, I want to invite you over. We're going to have some dialogue about what's happening over there in the EU and the UN and all this stuff. And I want to just have a good time with you. I'm going to invite you over and we're going to have a state dinner together. And that would be a tremendous honor. And also, for the president, it's his decision who he will invite to that state dinner of all his friends in the states. So he has to handpick every single guest that comes. So it could be a professional violinist that plays beautiful music for them while they dine. Or it could be one of his closest diplomats. Or it could be just anybody he knows real well personally and wants to honor them by having them present at this dinner. And all people consider it a tremendous honor to be present at such events. But just imagine to think that Jesus, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, He wants to come into us and sup with us and have fellowship with us. Another beautiful thing I think about in heaven, in regards to heaven, is there is a verse, I didn't write it down here, but it talks about how He will come forth, Jesus said Himself, that He will come forth and serve us. That is a tremendous honor. I can't imagine how that will be, that He will come forth and serve us. But the beautiful thing is that Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, desires such a close relationship with us that He wants to come in and dine with us. It's beautiful. It's more beautiful than the state dinners that the presidents have for their most honored guests. Christ's desire is to be in close fellowship with every one of us and reign on the throne of our hearts to such a degree that we are enraptured with Him. What a blessed state when we can sup with Him and He with us. I'll just mention real briefly Christ's example of this. We know that in His earthly ministry, with all the cares and responsibilities that He carried for His disciples and for the preaching of the kingdom to the masses around Him, I'm sure He felt the weight of that. And we see Him, what He did. He would go to a mountain Himself alone. And there's various passages I wrote down here. We don't have time to turn to them. But Luke chapter 6, verse 12 talks about He was there in the mountain Himself alone praying all night long. I'm sure He wasn't just resting. He was there praying to His Father. I can imagine Him just asking, Father, please give me the grace to fulfill this earthly ministry You called me to do. Give me the strength to endure the suffering and the hardship, and especially the cross that awaits me. Give me the strength to be faithful for the calling You placed upon my life. And just all that. And give me the ability to share this gospel of the kingdom to all those around me and show Your love. I'm sure He's just pouring His heart out to God and trusting that there be grace and strength coming from the Father to strengthen Him and enable Him to finish His earthly ministry. Christ can be our example of that. Let's take that example. I think it's appropriate that we give a little warning to those that refuse His entrance. Here in the previous verses in Revelation chapter 3, it talks about the removal of the candlestick. If we shut our heart's door to Him and say, no, I won't let you enter, I want to still be saved and do the right thing, but yet not let you reign in my heart, there comes a time, we don't know when that time is, but there is a removal of our candlestick. And that's a scary thought to think about. It also talks about how He will spew us out of His mouth if our hearts are lukewarm. Like I said earlier, Matthew chapter 7 talks about many are going to say to Him on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Your name and done all these great things? And He's going to say to them, I never knew you. And that will be a sad day. There's one time I had a dream. It was very, very vivid. And I woke up. I dreamed that I was before the judgment and I seen this great multitude of people. And they're all so excited because they had this great expectation that they're going to come in and be given admittance right into the kingdom, right into heaven. And they came before the judgment seat. And Jesus said to them, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. And it was such a vivid dream that I woke up weeping. And it really left an indelible impression on my heart of how terrible that day is going to be for any one of us, anyone who professes to know God, yet never really had that relationship with Him. Because it says here, I never knew you. So even though they were doing all these great works for God, yet He never knew them. So what would that be indicative of? It's indicative that we, or they, never had a proper relationship with Him. He never got to know them personally. And it also says that they are workers of iniquity. And it makes me think of the verses that says that they turn the grace of God into licentiousness. And they do the opposite of what Jesus said here. If you love me, you'll keep my words. They thought they loved Him and doing all these acts of service, yet they were workers of iniquity and they never knew Jesus. So a little application. So how do we really cultivate our relationship with Jesus? We all know, I think, the answers to that. It's prayer, it's reading the Word, it's meditation. But in regards to prayer, I think it's extended prayer. And it's prayer throughout the day. And that's something I've been endeavoring. And it is super hard for me sometimes. And it's not like I have a lot of things that call for all my mental energies to be absorbed in. Yet, why can't we pray throughout the day? Why can't I? And I just realize sometimes my mind is consumed with things it doesn't have to be consumed with. Why can't I spend time just throughout the day when I'm there cutting meat off or grinding meat? I can be praying for this needy family in the church. I can be praying for Colby's and Claire's over there in Turkey and Laverne over there. And I can pray for this situation. I can pray for my own life. And why can't I do that more? And it's something, it's a New Year's resolution that I made that I could do that more. But I still find it difficult. So may God help us. And the reading of the Word, that's something that is very important too. Reading, like I said earlier, that is how Christ speaks to us. That's how, if in the event we do have sin in our own heart, that He can speak to us and He can reveal that to us and show us, this is something in your life that's not right. And we can cleanse that and then have that restored relationship with Him. So reading of the Word, prayer, and meditations. I think meditations is a good one too, to meditate. David said he meditated upon the law of God day and night. And that was the law. We have the New Testament. We have Christ's teachings and the apostles' teach. We have so much more. And let's allow our hearts to meditate upon that. That's my desire, to meditate upon God's Word and beautiful things that we find in the Scriptures. And another thing is, I think, is greatly desiring it. We just need a great desire for the relationship. We can say, oh, I really want to grow close to God. But is it a strong, deep desire that's going to be motivating from day after day, week after week, year after year? Let's desire that greatly. And so desiring, I know with confidence that we will all find it. In order to find our lives fulfilled, complete victory over sin, strength to withstand temptations, our hearts at rest and peace, strength and security, we need this relationship with Jesus. We need to open the door of our hearts to Him and draw nigh to Christ. We will find our lives enriched in areas, in every area, and our hearts at peace and rest with Him. In closing, I have a poem that I wrote just yesterday in regards to this subject. Men search in various things to find the essence of their heart's desire. They run as if they're actually blind, and so their very lives expire. But he who seeks Christ's will to do, and will from other loves depart, with constant love to Christ pursue, shall know sweet peace and rest of heart. I'll read it one more time. Men search in various things to find the essence of their heart's desire. They run as if they're actually blind, and so their very lives expire. But he who seeks Christ's will to do, and will from other loves depart, with constant love to Christ pursue, shall know sweet peace and rest in heart. So if you don't have peace and rest in your heart, you don't feel yourself close to Christ, seek to draw nigh to Him. Open the door to your heart. Remove all those sins or any sin that you might know of your heart and allow Him to come in and reign supreme. Also, this verse could be an invitation to anyone who is lost this morning. If you're here this morning and you never have given your heart to Jesus and you have withstood His Holy Spirit speaking, you've had withstood His knocking, this morning this is also an invitation to you to open your heart to the Holy Spirit in the presence of Jesus and allow Him entrance. What in this life or eternity would keep you from opening that door and allowing Him entrance inside? May God help us. Thank you for your attention. God bless each one of you.